If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Streamed and Screened, an entertainment podcast about movies and TV from Lee Enterprises. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the national newsroom at Lee and co-host of the program with Bruce Miller.
Retired editor
of the Sioux City Journal and a longtime entertainment reporter. Well, first off, Bruce, congratulations on your retirement. I'm so excited.
Yeah,
for
isn't
you.
Who would have thought, right?
Right.
But we're doing this and we're doing other things. So I think we're still good. I don't think we have to worry about all that. But it was Humpty Dumpty. Humpty Dumpty. This is what happened. I had a great fall.
I went to
a Naperghetsi comedy thing, did the review. I was good. I'm walking out of the building and I fell. I fell on my elbow and I fell on my hip. Broke both of them. I was in the hospital for 4 weeks, rehab for like two or three more. And I have been doing stuff at home so that I can walk again, if you can imagine that.
Yeah.
I have a cane with me at all times. You know, and it's like, really?
Oh,
but
geez.
I've been pretty good about walking around the house without a cane. And they say as soon as that gets better, you know, I can chance it. But we're hoping for clearance. And the good thing is I can get a lot of the screeners and I can see things. So I'm watching a lot of TV. I'm watching a lot of films. I'm still able to do the kind of things I love to do.
Okay.
But it's just, yeah, it's when you have that kind of twinge, you go, oh, what was that?
Oh.
Well, that was you moved your arm the wrong way.
Yeah.
So it isn't because I left you. Terry, I'd never leave you.
Oh, well,
but,
I appreciate that.
I hope people don't think that we just disappeared. We didn't. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and now we're trying to get all the pieces together again, and hopefully I'll be back in good shape.
You don't happen to have one of those real fancy canes like Lady Danbury on Bridgerton, do you?
No, I do. I honestly, God, it looks like something I wouldn't let my grandfather have, but it's very stable.
Okay.
And so I trust it. And then you think, what do I have to, if I get up in the middle of the night, will I remember to grab the cane or do you
sure.
just walk?
Yeah.
But I have it so that I would run into it if I did.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It is what I don't learn. And I said, one of the strangest things was when I was in the hospital room, there was a whiteboard on there and they tell you what your vitals are. I know my blood pressure better than anybody. And on there it said elderly male fall risk. And all I could think was, oh no, I'm getting a roommate.
Who is
I don't
that
want
person?
A roommate. The elderly fall risk person is me.
Oh.
And So that was kind of an eye opener.
Yep.
And they always do not leave. You've got to put a belt on. You've got to get a belt around you so that you can walk. We'll walk you to the bathroom. You think, no, this is like, no, thank you, sir. But learning how to eat with your left hand, because I'm right-handed,
sure.
Has been a real challenge. And then just, you know, kind of little things like that. You go, well, this is bad.
Yep.
But today I did drive. So watch out, people, because when I'm on the streets, it could be different.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're doing better. I remember you telling me before we recorded our last episode, you know, you're heading to Naperghetsi and that's all coming up. And then we were planning, you know, we do the shows and I always say, you know, we'll be back again next week with another episode, but we've been leaving you, the listeners, hanging for more than a month now.
And I couldn't say anything.
And, you know, I really didn't have somebody to record with, but I'm glad we're able to get to do this now.
You didn't ditch me.
No.
That's the best part.
Right.
Yes.
So,
but we're back.
Yep.
We're going to be seeing a lot and lots of good stuff. Can I tell you, Frankenstein is a big thing.
Yeah.
I think it starts this week on Netflix. It'll be a contender for something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also saw Nuremberg.
Oh, Nuremberg, yeah.
Big, big film. Did interviews for that. Rami Malek,
right,
you know, is making a comment. Russell Crowe is very kind of scary.
Yeah.
I think in this. But it tells another, yet another story about World War II and mm-hmm. the aftermath.
Yeah.
And it's 2.5 hours long, but it is one that I think you want to see. And okay. then, while we were gone, mm-hmm. This is what gets me to want to come back, because I think, oh my God, Terry hasn't been able to expound on Springsteen yet, because I know that you love Springsteen.
I do.
And if we didn't get to talk about the movie, that would be criminal.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was, of course, one of the things that we had been talking about for so long, the Springsteen movie, and I was really excited. I'm a huge, huge fan. And, yeah, I saw it. So, you saw it. Have you seen it?
That was my first... Well, again, these No, I didn't leave the house. I saw it, but I didn't leave the house.
Right.
But I did get to see it, you know? So I can't say where I saw it. So sure. But let's just go with I saw it.
Yeah, you know, you get screeners. We know how that works. So, yeah. So, I saw it. It came out on a Friday, the 24th, I believe. I went to see it Saturday. My kids had some plans with my mom. So it became a bit of a date night for my wife and I. And yeah, rare time out.
Does she like Springsteen, or is she like, oh, if you buy one more record, I'm going to kill you?
A little bit of each.
Okay.
So she likes Springsteen. I've gotten her into Bruce more. Like I think it was more of a casual thing years ago, you know, where she knew Born in the USA and some of the other songs.
Sure.
But for me, I grew up in New Jersey. I'm a huge Springsteen fan, and I have been my entire life. So I was really excited to see this, and I will preface this by also saying this. My wife is like, she enjoys music, but she's not to an extreme like I am. She is not a fan of Bob Dylan, okay? But we went to see A Complete Unknown, and she really liked that movie. So to me, part of this was, what would my wife's reaction be to the Springsteen movie? Because I'm coming at it from a slightly different angle, right?
Right.
I'm a huge fan. I read the book.
I know
a lot about him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm almost too close to it. You know, for instance, there is a Facebook group called the Spring Nuts. Okay. That is what it's called.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, like every post about A Complete Unknown from the Spring Nuts, it's like, I've seen the movie 5 times. I've seen the movie 7 times. I keep going back. It's going to win Best Picture. Everyone here is going to get nominated. Everybody here is going to win. It's the greatest movie. Is what, you know, so it's like, you're kind of preaching to the choir kind of thing with that kind of group. So it's like, I understand that the Spring Nuts, of course, are going to come at this slightly differently than maybe my wife, who's not a Spring Nut. She likes going to Springsteen concerts with me. She's been to a couple. She likes listening to the movie, to the music, but she's not going to be somebody who, you know, knows every little thing about his life. So I was also curious to see what her reaction to the movie would be. So first off, like, her reaction was the movie was okay. She did not love it. She liked A Complete Unknown a lot more than this movie. That's not to say she didn't like this movie. You know, I looked over a couple times and there were tears in her eyes. You know, it got a little bit emotional.
Yeah.
but she didn't love it. For me personally, I read the book Deliver Me From Nowhere by Warren Zanes over the summer. It's a really good book. It's not a traditional biography. You know, he kind of talks to Bruce at times, so it's part journalism to a degree.
Okay.
It's part biography to a degree. It's a little bit of everything. So, it does take a very deep dive into the album Nebraska, of course, because that's what it's based on. But it's not like they took that book and then just rewrote it for a movie, because you have to dramatize it a bit. So, you know, overall, I thought the movie was good. I don't think the script was great. the script, I think, was okay. I think it was, I thought the movie was slow at times. It was a bit drawn mm-hmm. out at times.
Did you like Jeremy Allen White or
yes,
not?
Yes, I did. I thought Jeremy Allen White really captured Bruce Springsteen. I thought he did a good job. I know there was, you know, again, thinking back to some of the comments I would see from the Spring Nuts, things like, you know, he doesn't look like Bruce, you know, he's got blue eyes, that right. kind of thing. You know, it's like, look, these are actors. They're asked to portray the characters, right? You know, is Timothy Chalamet a clone of Bob Dylan? Of course not.
No.
You know, is Rami Malek a clone of Freddie Mercury? Of course not.
It's a matter of just giving kind of enough
yes.
that you can recognize
exactly.
it in the person, but not, I mean, come on, what are you going to do? Put the real person in and then do that kind of erase thing so
right.
they look younger?
Right.
No.
So I thought Jeremy Allen White did a very good job at capturing Bruce Springsteen of the time. I think Jeremy Strong was outstanding as John Landau. I thought he turned in a very strong performance. Which Jeremy did I think was better? I don't know, maybe Jeremy Strong a little bit more than Jeremy Allen White.
You know, the part I liked is how they kind of do that negotiating.
Yep.
Where it's like, well, no, this is what he wants to do. We're going to do this.
Yep.
Just go with it.
Yep.
And I love that because we don't see that kind of side of things where they dig in their heels and they say, no, we're going to release it the way I want it to mm-hmm. be released. We're not going to just go with whatever. Because, you know, those people that think they know everything about what's a hit, they don't.
Right.
Otherwise, we'd have hits all the time.
Of course.
I am a Springsteen fan, so mm-hmm. But I'm not at all at your level. Not at all. I think there wasn't enough drama mm-hmm. in all of it.
I would agree.
And I think part of that was, now you're going to tell me I'm wrong, mm-hmm. but he didn't have much of a struggle in his life. You know how these other film biographies where you go, oh, he came up from a log cabin and he, you know, couldn't afford to buy an instrument, so he whittled one out of a... I mean, that's kind of what we see with a lot of these musical biographies. And by the time when we start to see Springsteen, I think he's pretty successful.
Yeah.
And so there isn't this kind of like, well, how do we get over the hurdle? He's able to call some shots, and I'm surprised that they weren't a little more adept at that. You know how those kind of A&R people are very... they'll suck up to you.
Right.
And I was surprised that they didn't try to do more of that. Because, you know, you go, well, we got Born in the USA in our pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So let's let him have this little crappy album that he wants. And then we'll go with the next one. We'll all make big money.
Yeah.
And you don't see that. And I thought, well, that would have been kind of interesting. But, you know, it made me want to go back and listen to the album again.
Yeah, I think part of it, too, and I understand what you're saying. And it's, I think... because it's not a traditional biopic, like most biopics take you, you know, it's like the here's the artist, here's Johnny Cash as a kid, and now here's Johnny Cash, right? Right, exactly. And they gave you elements of it, the black and white flashbacks with Stephen Graham
right.
as his father.
Right.
But it didn't.
And I thought he was good. But
yeah.
you know, so dad has, and I know this sounds so bad, so please, people, do not think that I am justifying anything. But, you know, we all go through a lot of crap. And if a relative is responsible for that, you know, okay. But that shouldn't be the hook
right.
for this. And, you know, I'm not giving Dad a break or cutting him, you know, any slack, but things were different in those days. Mm-hmm. And if Dad said something, you just shut up and listened.
Yep.
Right?
Right. I think that, and then I think that's a little bit of a generational thing for one, you know, because yeah. I, you know, that you're obviously older than I am. So the relationship you had with your parents,
obviously.
But, you know, well, you're 20 years older than me, roughly. So,
yeah.
You know, the relationship you had with your parents and the time right. they grew up is different than the relationship I had with my parents when I grew up. I think they underutilized Gabby Hoffman, who played
most
his
definitely.
Mother. I mean, she was most barely definitely. In the movie, and she's such a tremendous actor. And,
yeah.
And Stephen Graham, you know, when you look at what he's done in the past, you know, year or so,
adolescence, yeah.
right? He was right. so good in his limited scenes here, but we needed more Stephen Graham. And I think if they would have added a little bit more to his backstory to really hone in on the mental struggles he had, because if you've read his book, if you read Bruce Springsteen's autobiography, Born to Run, it really goes in very, very deep into the struggles he's had with you know, mental illness and kind of going through therapy and his doctor. Like, you only got a little bit of that glimpse of his doctor yeah. in the last 5 minutes of the movie. And if you read his book, the book goes in a lot more into, you know, the struggles that he had, how they kind of paralleled his dad in a lot of ways, and how he really pushed through it. You know, I understand, obviously, this isn't a traditional biopic where you're going to focus in on a very large chunk of his life, but I don't think they did a good enough job getting into the backstory, into and how that led into the album Nebraska. And then also, right. you know, how he's kind of dealt with it since, where he's obviously, you know, it's like mental illness and or your mental health in general. It's not something that you can just fix and, you know, turn on a dime kind of thing.
Right.
It's a lifelong struggle. And we all have issues at times that we have to get through. So I think they could have spent a little bit more time on that.
The one man show he did on Broadway mm-hmm. that they filmed for, was it HBO or
right.
was it Netflix? One
yep.
of those ones. I thought that gave me more about him than this did.
Right. Yes.
And I, you know what I mean? Where I could appreciate more of the angst that went into kind of the work.
Right. So the script for this movie, even though it's based on the Warren Zanes book, Deliver Me From Nowhere, the script itself is actually based on a combination of that book, Springsteen's autobiography, Born to Run, and also his Broadway show. That's all. Those three pieces are really the bulk of the source material here. And, you know, I think, again, I thought they did a good job. And I don't know if you've had a chance to see both New York Times and Rolling Stone did kind of those fact checks, like the fact versus fiction
yeah.
that they always do after biopics.
Right.
And we know, like, a complete unknown fudged a bunch of things. We know, like, Bohemian Rhapsody fudged a lot of things. This movie fudged virtually nothing. I mean, it is about as accurate as you can possibly go. I can tell you the biggest controversy in the Springsteen community right now is that scene in the movie where he goes up. Well, it's first off, the girlfriend is a composite, so that's basically the biggest fictional in it.
Yeah,
but he knocks on the door, the little girl answers, and she's like, you know, I had a hot dog. And he's like, oh, what did you put on it? Ketchup or mustard? And she's like, you know, mustard, that's my favorite. And he's like, that's my favorite too. And every Springsteen fan who's read his book knows Bruce hates mustard. He so, and it's like, he's just being nice to the girl. That's all it is. It's not there, you know, but.
And this woman that they, you know, this composite woman, I thought, well, did he have a wife before, you know, the other ones? And so in the movie, I am scrolling through to try and find marriages.
Oh.
And thinking that there was like this unknown woman that suddenly disappeared and no longer is around anymore.
Right.
And it was nobody, because he had Juliana yeah. Phillips, the one
in the
from
80s.
Sisters. And,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that
and,
was after.
And
I think it was, I don't disagree with the idea of using a composite, because we don't need to see four or five different girlfriends
no.
at the time. But I think the one thing that you miss is the reason, you know, he hadn't gotten married up to that point because he couldn't sustain a relationship because he was incapable of having a healthy relationship with a partner at that time. And again, that's because of the mental health thing. Like I think in his book, he even said, you know, like once we got to the 2-year mark, that was it. Right. We couldn't.
Right.
You know, that was like the all my relationships up until he finally got married and got the mental health under control. There was an expiration date on every relationship he had.
Well, he didn't want to get too deep into it because then what would that mean? It could have been, you know, not healthy for him, but we'll see. You know,
right.
You never know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was fascinating. But you know, they really captured the look of New York at that time of the offices I look at all that. My God, somebody did research because I remember that kind of shaggy carpeting that was all over the place. And I thought this looks exactly like it should look. So, you know, I was fine with it. I don't think it's a contender for Best Picture.
No.
It could be nominated, but I don't think it's going to win at all.
Yeah, I think I feel like, you know, because you have those 10 nominees for Best Picture, I do think it might get enough lobbying where it could be, you know, like the 10th picture. You know, I'm not going to say it's not going to get nominated for a film for an Oscar. But I would say that it probably has about as close to a 0% chance of winning as you can get, right? Like there's going to be 9 other films that will come out ahead of it, have a better shot. You know, I don't think Scott Cooper is going to get a Best Director nomination. I don't think the script is strong enough for a screenplay type of nomination.
No.
I do
sound or music.
Sound
maybe?
Or music, costume design kind of things. And I do think both Jeremy Strong and Jeremy Allen White have a shot at, like, you know, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor. But we've seen it before. With these biopics, like there's a very high bar for voters wanting to give an actor a Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Supporting kind of thing. Like you just don't see it really. It's tough to, you know, Timothy Chalamet, who like nailed Dylan, didn't win. So
he's got one coming this year that could be his make good because they didn't give it to him.
Right.
You know, so we'll see how that rolls out. Interesting.
Yeah. Here's an interesting thing. Just before we move on. I was looking at Rotten Tomatoes and this is kind of, I think, where the fans tend to always treat these movies in higher regard than the critics. So on Rotten Tomatoes right now, it's got that green splat, 59% from critics. But for the fans, it's at 83%. So it's got a bucket of popcorn, right?
Yeah.
A Complete Unknown had 82% certified fresh by critics, 95% beloved by the fans. So that one did very well. The Elvis movie, 77% from critics, 94% from the general audience. Bohemian Rhapsody, which, you know, of course, Rami, he won Best Actor for that, right?
And I think that ruined it for the others.
Yeah.
Because they go, wait a minute here.
Yeah. And this is where I think Jeremy Allen White or Jeremy Strong might have a chance because the numbers are really close here. So 60% on the tomato meter from critics, 85% from the fans. So Bohemian Rhapsody tracks almost identically to the Springsteen movie. So I think it has a chance at some nominations, but, you know, is it going to win? Probably not.
And Springsteen doesn't need an Oscar because he already has one.
Yeah, right.
So hey,
you know what he needs?
It is what it is.
Yeah, you know where he's missing is the Emmy. He needs the Emmy.
He needs it. Well, come on. They have to do a special about it.
He's got the GOT. He doesn't have an EGOT. He has the GOT. He has a Grammy, he has an Oscar, he has a Tony. He does not have the Emmy.
We got to get the easiest one is the Emmy.
Right.
It's funny.
No offense to anybody, but yeah. I think it, because there's so many categories, I think you, Beyonce has an Emmy.
Right.
She got the Emmy for designing costumes.
Yes.
It isn't because she got it for performing.
I know. It's so funny too, is Bruce, he's had multiple projects, like I think the Springsteen on Broadway, he was considered a producer on that for the Netflix version, you know, so he's done multiple things that could have potentially gotten him an Emmy, and he just can't quite get there. It's funny.
What's the secret? Ask Elton John, because he did a special, his last concert or whatever. And what did he get? He got an Emmy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe that's what we need, but there's been a few things. He did that Road Diaries for Hulu a year or so back, Bruce did, and that
there are opportunities.
He'll get there. We know he'll get there, right? We're pulling for
sure.
Bruce.
Sure. You can't get it all in one year.
No. But yeah, no, overall, I think, like, you know, what would you give it? You know, I don't know. What's your rating system? Is this stars?
Well,
stars.
Yeah, yeah. I get 3 stars is what I gave it.
Okay.
Three out of four. Yeah.
I like, me personally, I would have done, you know, like 3 out of 4, B+. I mean, it was not a bad movie. I'm a little bit annoyed at some of the critic responses, because it is not a 59% on the tomato meter to me. It's like, you know, if it would have been 70-75%, I would have been like, yeah, sure, that's probably
you wait till
right.
I put my numbers in there and it'll go up and you're gonna be okay.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. So overall, I enjoyed it. Not the greatest biopic of all time. Had some flaws. Tremendous performances from Jeremy Allen White and Jeremy Strong. Two of the best Jeremys out there today. But you know, it fell short a little bit for me. I will say this though, for the music fans, the box set that just came out with a remaster of the album. Okay, so that's number one. It had a LP of outtakes. It had an LP where he went into a theater and recorded the whole album front to back. And he also released, as part of this, the mythical Electric Nebraska sessions. Because originally he went into the studio, you know, he took that little cassette tape and it's just going to be demos for the band. And then whatever they did with the band didn't live up to his standards. These performances are absolutely magical. Electric Nebraska, it lives up to all the hype that you can think of. But I will say this, I have multiple pressings of the album Nebraska, and I did kind of like a deep dive.
Multiple
copies. I have a 1982 original pressing, U.S. original pressing. I have a 1982 original Japanese pressing. And then there were two remasters, one in, I think it was 2014, and then one in 2022. And then you've got this one that just came out. This one that just came out, you know, the outtakes are great. The live thing he did in the Count Basie Theater in Red Bank with his 75-year-old voice, like adding this kind of, I don't know, you know, something about his older voice that really works well with these songs. It's just tremendous. Electric Nebraska, great. The remaster on the album, absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Oh, wow.
So, like, and I kind of reviewed it for some of my friends in the vinyl community. Skip, like, buy the box set, listen to LPs 1, 2, and 3, skip the remaster. And if you've got a 1982 original, it sounds better. Or if you want something newer, 2022 Vinyl Me Please did a 40th anniversary half speed master of the album. Absolutely wonderful. And the 2014 remaster that they did, they put it through what's called a Plangent process, where they do some digital cleanup on the original, and it added new life to this. So, you know, if you want, like, the original, the volume is a little bit low because they couldn't really extract a whole lot out of it at the time, because you're going from cassette tape to a record. But these remasters from 2014, 2022, absolutely wonderful. The Japanese release from 1982 is fine. Anyone that collects records knows that, like, Japanese releases tend to be very good, like from a production, you know, the jacket is really nice. The pressings are super clean, really, really good care. Sometimes the volume that they record at isn't to my liking. You know, it's just like, I think, personal preference. So an 82 Japanese pressing is fine as well if you have it. But yeah, this new one, it fails miserably on the original album.
One of the things that surprised me is they do Born in the USA in a different version. Yeah. Is that on any of it or not?
Yeah. So the original version of Born in the USA that he recorded on that Nebraska tape, that came out in 1998 rather, as part of his Tracks box set. And it is on this new box set. It's cool.
Oh,
it's
good.
It's echoey. It has that Nebraska sound. But the cool thing is that Electric Nebraska version of Born in the USA, it's a three-piece, right? It's just Bruce on guitar and his vocals. You got Max Weinberg on drums, and you got Gary Talent on bass. It's like a three-piece.
I bet that's good.
Oh, my goodness. It's like just a garage band, basically. It's better than the version that came out on you know, the 1984, in my opinion, at least.
Can I tell a Max Weinberg story?
Sure, you may.
When Letterman was just starting, you know, and doing his thing, and he had Max and his band and all that, I had a friend's child, I should say, who was getting into drums because of Max.
Oh, sure.
And he adored everything that Max did. And so I thought, well, I'll just tell him this because, you know, how many times do you think a kid who's maybe 14 is going to be bowled over by some old guy that's playing in a band on TV? And he was so excited about that. He said, here, will you do me a favor and give him this rosin bag? Because he said, that's what really helps when I'm playing, is my hands are dry and I'm able to do a lot of the good stuff. And I said, well, you got to sign it because he won't believe me if I say it comes. Oh, he says, we'll do that. Well, so, all right, speed forward now. The guy is probably 50.
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to say this kid is now 50? And he still has it.
Wow.
He still has Max's bag.
That's cool.
There from the, yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And I think, well, there was a connection there. Yeah. And I think sometimes we don't let those people know that they are an influence on, mm-hmm. on others. And they do get people involved in
yeah.
things like music. So God bless them.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Well,
it must be time, but yeah. And I bet you any money that if Bruce Springsteen ever went to the hospital, elderly male fall risk.
Oh, man. Well, I said it before, I'll say it again. I'm just thrilled that we are continuing the show. I'm glad, you know, I know you're moving into a different chapter of your life, like, you know, retired Bruce, but that doesn't mean you're slowing down, right? I mean, you're still
retired Bruce, fall risk still.
Right.
Yeah.
But you are still going to be reviewing movies and TV.
You bet.
You're still going to be doing interviews. Yep. And
right?
we're going to continue doing this podcast, which has me super excited. I really am thrilled that we get an opportunity to do this each week, and we're going to keep doing it for a while. So I'm glad and congratulations on your retirement.
Hey, thank you. Yeah. Retirement. I don't know what it's like yet, but I'm waiting. I'm hoping it's going to be fun. I hope it'll be a good thing. But when the winter comes
yep.
and it's snowing and I don't have to get out of the house,
yep.
I'll be really happy.
Yeah, I know. Well, don't go out there and shovel on slippery sidewalks. Pay a neighborhood kid to help you out.
Old people hire that crap done. It's not going to, I'm not doing it.
Oh, man. All right. Well, welcome back, you know, and thank you for joining me on this, and we'll be back again next week, I hope next week, right, Bruce?
Yeah, should be.
All right, we'll be back again next week with another episode of Streamed and Screened.